We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Same number for both. And the text lines already blew up. Apparently, some of y'all have thoughts on Birmingham Southern. My gosh, they keep dropping in. Let me grab a few of these before I get out of control. Marie, I love this audience. Marie from Madison says, the pathetic thing about that special election yesterday was that former Representative Mike Ball. Yeah, I saw this. I did not know it until this morning. Former Republican Representative Mike Ball actually endorsed Marilyn Lenz. Said, I was really disappointed he did that. Unfortunately, there are many people out there who apparently do not see the big picture. As you stated, elections have consequences at the local, state, and national level. Yeah, Marie, you're right. Thank you very much. I cannot explain. I heard that Mike Ball had a personal friendship with her, and he felt obligated to his friendship. But he could have also told her he was going to stay out of it because there are bylaws. And I don't think Mike Ball's going to run for anything anymore. I think he's done. But there are bylaws that basically say if you have openly endorsed or supported a member of the other party, that you cannot then hold a position on the executive committee or, for that matter, run for office. But I don't think Mike cares about that now. I think he's served his time. I can't explain that, but I don't think it was good for him. Devin from Brownsboro says, I believe I am the long-lost nephew of Uncle Sugar. Well, you may have to probate that estate there, Devin, and prove your inheritance is due to be recouped. Bruce from Hazel Green says, we need a bunch of young boozers in Washington, D.C. Indeed. Indeed. I need to get young boozer on the show. You know it? By the way, I will say this. I've campaigned with him several times, and I love the fact that every single time he campaigns, he says, my favorite is to go and campaign on a college campus because everybody flips out of the fact that my name is Young Boozer. Yes, that is my real name. Anyway, that's him saying that. Allie Mathen says, so is it safe to say that under the Biden administration, USA stands for Uncle Sugar Assists? Wow. Allie, nailed it.
That was good.
All right.
T-shirt.
If John from Huntsville is paying attention, you need to give points to Allie from Athens for coining that one. USA stands for Uncle Sugar Assists. Sugar, by the way, is spelled S-U-G-A-H. Sugar. Thomas Mathen says, congrats to Mr. Boozer. Perhaps a solution to Birmingham Southern's money problems. Us Birmingham heavy hitters and successful alumni get together via GoFundMe as an individual thank you to BSC for their educational benefits received. You know what, Thomas? I mean, I think that's great. And they've been trying to do some type of fundraising like that, individual, you know, solicitations and endowments and go into their alumni. I know they have. They say that they were actually gaining ground with that until the state said it wasn't going to give them the big loan they needed. And now that it's all come to a grinding halt and they can't see a way forward. That's what they say. We'll talk about it in more detail momentarily. Missy from Fayetteville, most excellent, sir. Thank you for talking about the bridge. Biden, within the first 24 hours, says the federal government will pay. Okay, that's taxpayer money. Says, scary that my husband is 61 and on 100% military disability could receive a letter to report. Heaven help us. Yeah, I saw that. That's going to be in my show later in the day. I don't think they're going to I'm the same way, but I don't think they're going to call us. But nonetheless, they're hurting for folks. A couple more. JT Lacey Springs, less sugar, more boozers. Start a trend. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue. And I can't believe that crazy pro-abortion Democrat lady actually won an election in the city that I call home. I get you, man. So also, I decided to look up food combinations that sound disgusting and actually taste good. So my question to Big Rig right now is, would you rather eat a peanut butter and pickle sandwich or the combination of custard and fish fingers? Good Lord, man.
Neither.
I'm with you. Let's boycott that one. All right, I got a few more texts, and we'll jump right into dipper number one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, y'all, Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. All right, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. Got a few text messages on it, so I'll grab those real quick. Jeff from Indiana says, he says, hey, Phil, just call me Cousin Sugar. because my uncle always has his hand out for me to give him money to give to someone else that I never get any of it back. Nice. Chris from Gadsden says, can you imagine being a senior and just a couple of credits from graduating and having to find a new school? Also, Samford University declined to accept their yearly allocation from the Alabama State Baptist Convention a few years ago because the university did not need the money. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? Yeah, I can't imagine, man. And by the way, I hate this. I am not at all mocking Birmingham Southern. I will point out the fallacies and the foibles, but I still hate it. I've got great friends who sent all three of their sons there, played baseball, all three of them. And just, you know, great family, Birmingham Southern. I loved, Coach Shoup used to be the baseball player there, had a solid reputation. The whole campus did. Like I said earlier, my grandmother went there, but here we are. Steve from Tennessee says all things must pass to include those entities that are mismanaged. Yes, indeed. And last one before I jump in my topics here. Jerry from Decatur says, I got a buddy who's now a retired Green Beret. I asked him what happened to readiness when Clinton was elected. He told me everybody that could get out got out, saying they would not serve under that draft dodger. All right. Well, Jerry, I appreciate it. Airborne. And that's that kind of social context is where we are right now, and I'll cover that later in my segment on building the force. All right. Listen, Birmingham Southern. That's the whole first thing here is the Birmingham Southern bailout. I want to put some context on this because there's a blame game going right now. Let us not forget that Birmingham Southern, by its own admission, y'all, has said, we screwed up. They screwed up. They had in 2007, they had $110 million in their endowments. Now, those might be somewhat restricted funds that can be used for certain things. Sometimes an endowment is given for a certain program or a scholarship or for a building fund. Nonetheless, they had $110 million in endowments at their disposal. And then they went into what has now been referred to, I believe, by the current BSC president, President Coleman, I believe. And he referred to it in one of my articles here as some, how do you call it, misguided building programs. But yeah, I don't fault a university for building stuff. You got to have the best student center to attract students. You got to have good dorms. They don't want to live there. You got to have good classrooms with high technology and all the things. But you know, when you start kind of getting way ahead of yourself and you build like you're building like giant ponds that don't need to be there, when you're building dorms and you're building them out, hey, we make green energy compliant dorms. Awesome. Was that really necessary? And then you have to look at some of the other things they did. The landscaping was just unbelievable on the campus constantly. Beautiful, costly. They blew through the endowments, blew through it. It is no longer available to them. $110 million, where did that go? Enrollment also went down. Keep in mind, I said earlier in my monologue, do you remember during COVID? Here, I'll tell you what, I got the story. Let me just pull this up. I pulled this story from back in 2021. CBS 42 ran it. We actually had these students on the show more. We actually broke this story on Right Side Radio. Back during COVID, the College Republican Federation of Alabama issued a condemnation statement against Birmingham Southern because Birmingham Southern was going to charge students $500 more if they did not get vaccinated. Can you imagine? That was at a time, by the way, that we had already passed legislation saying you cannot force, you know, a public institution cannot force whether they're private, or we can do it. Oh, so that's how you're going to play. So you're private when it matters, but now you need public dollars to bail out. Let that sink in. You're private when it suits your agenda, like, I don't know, bypassing state law so that you can charge kids more who don't see the need to get a vaccination. But you're going to wind up claiming you need public dollars when your mismanagement has come to the surface. Story was in fall of 2021. BSC students will initially be charged $500 for the fall term, but students who are fully vaccinated will receive an immediate $500 rebate. Yes. And it was just absolutely asinine, and they could care less. And they were approached by my friends at the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty and asked to rescind it. And they basically gave the big push off. enrollment began to drop. Why would it not? If you're seen as the university that is having spending woes, and you can't account for things like, oh, I don't know, how about the gross mismanagement of the fact that they miscalculated the amount that they would be due from the federal government for, like, you know, GI Bill and Pell Grants and other resources. So they basically had an accounting error that was so huge that it threw them into financial chaos. Well, that just tells me they didn't know what they were doing. So they're officially going to close. Here's a question I have, by the way. I'm going to go ahead and ask. I'm going to ask this later on in Grand Council too. Is this a effort to procure a sympathy vote in the legislature?
Oh, I don't know. Could it be a red herring, a ruse, if you will, a head fake, juking on the field? I don't know. I wonder.
Birmingham Southern will officially close May 31st, 2024, after a vote from the 168-year-old university's Board of Trustees. Yellowhammer News had a story yesterday afternoon. They're blaming the legislature. Their statement was from the Board of Trustees: the Board of Trustees voted unanimously today to close the college after a 2024 bill designed to amend legislation that established the loan program failed to win sufficient support in the Alabama House of Representatives. Without that funding, the college does not have the resources to continue. How about, we've asked for a bailout, but they won't give it to us, and so we're going to have to live with the consequences of our actions? That would have been a more appropriate statement from the Reverend Keith Thompson, who serves as the chairman of the Board of Trustees. Jabbo Wagner, who is the state senator, I love Jabbo Wagner. I think the world of him. I have a great deal of respect for Jabbo Wagner, but he's been the one arguing for this bill, and I wish he wouldn't. He recently argued that if we were to give this loan program to them, that it would generate $2 billion worth of return over the next 20 years. They're going off a financial impact study. Where is that thing? I've got a copy of it here. Hang on a second. Financial impact study. So Birmingham Southern College believes that it will bring in a great deal of money to the economy. How do they base that? Well, they've got a study by a guy named Kevan Duravi of Economic Research Services Incorporated that asserts the college has an impact of $97 million annually on Alabama's overall economy. How do they calculate that? Oh, it's stuff like, how much do the students spend on local retail? How much for the rental of real estate for students who live in the area but don't live on campus? How much for things like utilities that are paid by the college or, you know, whatever? In $19.5 million in in-state spending by the employees who work there. $15.1 million in state spending on goods. $45 million direct anyway. What they do is they calculate what the people that go there and the other services that are bought by the college provide to the economies of the local, the county, the state. And they come up with $97 million. But they've asked for $30 million from the state, $5 million from the city of Birmingham, $2.5 million from Jefferson County. So what they're literally asking for is about 37% of what they would bring back. No. So Birmingham Mayor Randall Woodfin has lamented the loss in a statement. Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin says, word of the decision to close Birmingham Southern College is disappointing and heartbreaking to all of us who recognize it as a stalwart in our community. And then he says, I've stood alongside members of our city council to protect this institution and its proud legacy of shaping leaders. It's frustrating that those values were not shared by lawmakers in Montgomery. Hello. No one said they didn't like Birmingham Southern. But you're asking the state to give up $30 million in taxpayer funds. Liberal Mayor Birmingham Randall Woodfin, do you know whether or not somebody who lives, I don't know, down in Silver Hill, Alabama in Baldwin County wants to pay to keep Birmingham Southern open? Do you know whether somebody who lives in Rimlap or somebody over in Jasper or up in the Shoals wants to pay to keep Birmingham Southern open after it proved that it cannot handle it? By the way, I found this to be interesting. I'll leave you with this thought. It turns out that the current college president of Birmingham Southern, Daniel Coleman, was actually Woodfin's financial advisor on his first mayoral campaign. What? Yes. So we don't have an institution of higher learning that's being run by people who apparently share the values of much of the state. We've got the guy who helped elect the most liberal mayor in the Southeast United States, Randall Woodfin. We've got him serving as the president. So he was the financial advisor to Woodfin's mayoral campaign, and now he's the president of the failing Birmingham Southern. I'm not so sure that's a track record that I would like to see elected to Congress one day. Listen, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back from this break. I got more on this. And then coming up top of the hour, State Representative Danny Garrett is going to call in and give us the latest on what's happening in the House with this bill. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Chris from Gadsden again texted and said, why doesn't the United Methodist Church help out their Methodist college? And you make a great point, Chris. And I don't know the structure of the UMC. But here's the thing. The UMC is in the middle of all of its breakups. I mean, right now, they're still busy fighting with each other about whether they're going to do gay marriage and, you know, and have, you know, people fighting to see whether they get to keep the church building or have to move down the road. So I don't know if the United Methodist Church is in any kind of position to do that kind of thing. But even still, you would think that the entire denomination would truly have the money. But I don't know the answer to your question, but it's a great one. Like, why are they a United Methodist college and they're not getting any UMC bailout? Because that would seem more apropos. Tracy from Athens says, so if the state coughs up the millions, do we get to vote for a new president of the college? Just asking, because Dems do not have a great track record with budgets. I would agree with that. I mean, can we make this a, here's an idea. Yes, you can have the money, but young Boozer has to be the president. Nice. I see it. I can see it from here. I may even ask about that later. Bob from Madison says, so about BSC, how much is the president and the upper leaders, how much are they making per year? I don't know their salaries, but I did see one report that said that young Boozer said that he felt like the staff was way overcompensated, and that was part of their problem. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, it sounds like BSU or BSC will be a lovely university campus for some larger university to take over the satellite, and they'll get pennies on the dollar for it. Yeah, and Jeff, by the way, that's – okay, let me just thank you, Jeff, for that great segue. I've got a piece right here. Where'd it go? By the way, it made national news. So I've got a piece right here from Local News, Channel 13, and it's really – it's a nothing burger. It's just – all it is State Representative Wanda Lynn Gavan, who is hard to take serious on pretty much anything. If she told you the sky was blue, I'd look twice just to make sure. But State Representative Wanda Lynn Gavan said she was somewhat stunned to hear the school that sits in her district is closing. Said it's an absolute stain on everybody. I take the stain even on myself. A stain. I represent that area, and I've done so proudly for 14 years. But then she goes on to say, there are other schools that are interested, and there's been conversation about what can be done, but she has no clues who. She says, Alabama A&M could be a factor. I've talked with their president last year, not as much this year. There have been some rumblings. Some of their alumni are very, very much interested. She called it a community within a community, sitting next to I-59 with easy access. So we'll have to see if there's a buyer on the market. Gavan said that Alabama State University and Miles College have also been mentioned. So what she's saying there is, I mean, she just named the three historically black colleges. She's basically lobbying for one of the HBCUs to buy it out, it sounds like. Since she's the one who's saying it, I ain't buying it. But I doubt if anybody else has lined up to buy it yet. The problem you got is, yeah, there's going to be probably some type of a foreclosure or a bankruptcy. I assume that they are eligible for bankruptcy. I don't know. And if they do that, are they going to try and reorganize or are they going to try and liquidate? And if they liquidate, do they have to liquidate in whole? And then you're going to have, oh man, I'll tell you what, I think it's Service First Bank has a $17 million note on the facilities. I saw one report in my hands somewhere in here. Here it is. One says that the main campus has a liquidation value of $22 million. Well, they're pretty over leveraged then. They've got $17 million of it in hock already. But then I saw another one that says that they actually have no more like an $85 million value. So I don't know what to believe there. All I know is this. It's making national news. Piece here on Alabama Reflector, which I take that with a grain of salt too, but pretty good article here. talks about the fact that in the legislative process, so young Boozer said, you guys in the legislature gave me the discretion, and I decided that my discretion says no, and he would not give the loan. And that was after doing due diligence, realizing that it was a high risk. It would not be a good return for the state. He felt like it was not wise to do it, and I agree. I thank you, young Boozer. But so the legislature came back, and Senator Wagner brought a bill that would take the state treasurer out of the mix and give it to the Commission on Higher Education, who I guarantee you doesn't want it. But nonetheless, they're trying to get around young Boozer. Well, it went to committee and went to the Senate floor. Apparently it passed to some degree, and it went to the House, and now it's stalled. Representative David Faulkner brought a substitute bill. All right, what that means is the original bill has now been changed with a brand new version of the bill as a substitute. He wanted to clarify certain things, like setting milestones for them to maintain the loan, increasing student body enrollments and addressing their deficits. And if the milestones are missed, they automatically go into default. And I appreciate him doing that. I'm told that it did come out of committee, but it appears to have stalled in its traversing of the process to get to the floor. Right now, we're looking at stories from the Wall Street Journal and others around the nation that are going, wow, that just happened. But we're not alone. Wall Street Journal reports, as of yesterday, that in recent weeks, Ohio's Notre Dame College, not the university, but Notre Dame College, said it's going to close down this spring. Fontbonne University, a Catholic school in Missouri, is going to be shutting down next year. Northland College in Wisconsin says it needs to raise $12 million by next week or it will close. And we've also seen, by the way, Judson College already closed in Alabama. This is a thing. It says that Birmingham Southern students are on spring break right now. Administrators will try to help students transfer their credits. But like many colleges, Birmingham Southern suffered from an overly optimistic revenue forecast and a board that provided little oversight. Its enrollment has now fallen to 731, less than half of its peak enrollment. It's a small college, y'all. It's much smaller now. And I got to say, what we're looking at right now is, unfortunately, what probably needs to happen, which is a crying shame, a crying shame. But that's what happens when you mismanage. And we shouldn't have to bail you out. Prove yourself first. Prove your worthiness. Restructure if you have to. But dang. So whether they can go into bankruptcy, I don't know. Right now, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back from this break. We'll have State Representative Danny Garrett on the line. He's the chairman of the Education Budget Committee that this bill just went through. He'll give us the lowdown on where it's going. Is it really stalled? And are we looking at just a sympathy vote now because they're trying to lure you in by saying, we're going to have to close, fellas? I don't know. Let's talk to Danny Garrett and find out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Dave from Remlap texted in. He says, a lot of us are looking to you for leadership. Colonel McGregor, hang on. What's this? A long? Okay, I'm not sure we're on topic now. All right, listen, brother, I'm going to get back to that text because it does not appear to be on the topic that I'm on right now. So let me jump off of that text. It's kind of long anyway, and I'll come back to it. Donna from Coleman says, how can we be surprised when stewardship and a biblical principle in BSC is simply following the moral decisions of the United Methodist Church? Donna, I don't know how to answer that. Stewardship and a biblical principle in BSC is simply following the moral decisions of the, well, I guess what you're saying is it's United Methodists, and I wouldn't categorize them all that way. They all can make mistakes. I don't know, by the way, I don't know that BSC was on the liberal side of the United Methodist fight. But nonetheless, it's touted still to this day as a United Methodist college. And so I don't know Chris from Gadsden asked that question earlier. Why is the United Methodist denomination not bailing out, Birmingham Southern? If somebody knows the answer to that, I certainly would like to know. And during the next break, I'll see if I can find something. But right now, we're just basically seeing that they are not tied together when it comes to money. Bob from Madison says, about BSC, have they checked the books? Yeah bro. That's why they're in trouble. have they checked the books? I would say yes. If you're asking if they know why some of the money is gone, I think they know why it's gone. I think that they just did a very poor job. There's been no indications, if you're asking, of wrongdoing. I mean, if that ever comes up, I'd be the first to report it. But right now, there are no reports of such. Barry from Fultondale said, Phil, did the ones who took the $130 million and squandered on building projects lose their jobs? Yes. The former president resigned in 2010, 2011, I believe, thereabouts. He had been the one who pushed for a lot of things that got built that weren't necessary, squandered a lot of funds. But then the ones who mismanaged, I don't know what happened to some of those were basically miscalculating the federal reimbursements for Pell Grants and that kind of thing. It's a mess. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, Mayor Randall Woodfin talking about his buddy who managed his financials on his campaign for mayor is now the president of BSC. I would think this is not a great one to have on your resume. President Coleman, what was your last job? Birmingham Southern College. Didn't they fall into bankruptcy and go out of business? Well, yeah. Thank you for coming in. I mean, I don't know that one's going to carry the day for your next job search. We got some brand new texters. yeah, thank you for that. And that's not on topic right now, but I appreciate you bringing it up. Tell us where you're from and who you are, and we'll put you in the system. All right, listen, coming up next, we're going to switch gears. Number two on the Triple Dipper, elections have consequences. And not just here, it's everywhere. But we had an election last night. Did you know that? Apparently a lot of people didn't. We had an epic poor turnout. Like, wow. Like, awful. Special election that flew right past most people. Filling a seat that had been vacated by a Republican who was indicted, stepped down from office. And a Democrat just won. And a Democrat won with, like, I want to say 3,200 votes to 2,700 votes. That's how few people turned out to vote in House District 10 last night. House District 10, which, by the way, has upwards of around 44,000 people, of which you can expect somewhere in the neighborhood of probably, what, 35,000 or more would be eligible to vote. And you had just a sorry turnout. And when sorry turnouts happen, bad things happen. Special elections are hard. But right now, the liberal media is loving this and claiming that all you got to do now in Alabama is run on abortion and you can win. And I wonder, do y'all think that's true? Because I've got an article right here. Because this, by the way, if you're sitting there listening to this radio going, there was an election last night? Exactly. Unless you're a liberal. Because right now, Politico, Axios, The Washington Post, all of them are just trumpeting. Here's a piece from Politico. Alabama Democrat who campaigned aggressively on abortion access won a special election in the state legislature, sending a message that abortion remains a winning issue for Democrats, even in the Deep South. Is it? Is it really? We'll talk about it, and we'll talk about what happens when you elect folks like this in all kinds of places. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.